You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, everybody, and welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And happy hump day to each of you. Hope your afternoon is working itself out well. Hope you can get outside to enjoy some of this beautiful weather that we've got. Finally, a little break from the heat and humidity. Gorgeous day for baseball as we all enjoy our free burgers, courtesy of George Webb, celebrating the Milwaukee Brewers' 12th win in a row. Those are going on right now at all 23 George Webb locations across southeastern Wisconsin. That runs from 2 until 6. Of course, I was busily prepping the show, and I'm going to be here with each and every one of you. So no free burger for me this time around, but have one on my behalf, will ya? And in honor of that, it just so happens that we've got president of the Milwaukee Brewers, head of their operations, Rick Schlesinger, joining us today at 5:30. So we'll be rounding out this hump day with a bit of fun and celebration. I cannot wait to do that. So hang on with us all afternoon. And do not forget, Civic Media's got you covered. We've got Brewers coverage on WRCE out of Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN in Racine and Kenosha, and WCQM in Park Falls, as well as our newest Brewers affiliate, WBZH out of Hayward. Go Brewers! They dropped another one last night, a little heartbreaking, but they'll have another crack at their I-94 rivals, the Chicago Cub, this evening. We've got a very special show for you today. Today we're going to be focusing on data manipulation on a whole new scale in the Trump administration. This discussion is a continuation of the argument that I made to each and every one of you last week, Thursday, that Donald Trump is no capitalist. He doesn't believe in competition or merit or any of those things. In fact, in my opinion, he's one of the most anti-business, anti-competition, anti-free markets, anti-freedoms president in modern American history. If you want to talk about meritocracy, you want to talk about competition, you want to say that you're pro-business and free markets, well, then you want to be able to prove that you're the best or your product is the best. You want to prove that your policies are the best. And for that, we need objective and accurate data collection and analysis. Of course, Donald Trump is none of those things, though he wants you to believe that he is. And so one core element that you see throughout Project 2025 and everywhere in Trump's second administration is his attack on objective and independent data collection, analysis, and most important, reporting. We've got a slew of expert guests to help us understand all of this afternoon, so you're not going to want to go anywhere. But a bit of today's breaking news before we dive into Trump, the data manipulator extraordinaire. Here is your breaking news. Speaking of data manipulation and, you know, bullying independent agencies or those agencies that are supposed to be independent, Donald Trump today putting more pressure on the Fed, arguing that Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook should resign now, 3 exclamation points on Truth Social, of course, citing unconfirmed allegations that she may have engaged in mortgage fraud. I find that rich, coming from mortgage fraudster himself, Donald Trump, at least allegedly. I mean, how big is the gilded penthouse apartment? 10,000 or 30,000 square feet? Who's really counting? Also, in the Epstein file saga that continues, a Manhattan judge on Wednesday yet again denied the government's request to unseal grand jury testimony from the prosecution of Jeffrey Epstein. That federal judge, Richard Berman, said the administration had not justified the need to unseal the secret testimony and that far more information about the case was actually held in Justice Department files. Who knew? Oh, wait, Pam Bondi knew. Ugh, I won't digress. Let me continue with today's headlines. Also, in the area of hating data and experts and independence and objectivity and, you know, generally smart people, Donald Trump has revoked the security clearances of 37 current and former national security officials on Tuesday. This happened despite the fact that the acting director of the National Security Agency has been working to try to protect one of his top scientists, tried to convince the director of national intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, to not have his security clearance revoked. Why? And by the way, this effort failed. He did have his security clearance revoked today. Why? Because this is the leading scientific expert on these things: artificial intelligence, cryptology, and advanced mathematics. I don't know, do you feel safer now that we have our lead scientist at the NSA can't access highly classified materials, and he's the guy that knows all about, again, artificial intelligence, cryptology, and advanced mathematics? Yep, definitely safer today. And, you know, because Donald Trump's all about our nation's safety, they were very, very excited to announce that Donald Trump in the White House now has its own official TikTok account. My, what a taco Trump it is today on Wednesday. Flippity floppity, as he always does. First administration, TikTok bad. This administration, TikTok good. As long as it makes him money and gets him clicks, I guess. A bit of good news here. I want to give props where they're due. State Representative Derek Van Orten most likely saved a boy's life, I believe, yesterday. He happened to be driving past a high-speed crash. It was a really, really bad accident. Derek Van Orten, he's a veteran, retired Navy SEAL. He whipped his car around, went to the scene of the accident, and helped apply a tourniquet to this young man's leg that had been terribly crushed in the accident. Likely helped the young boy not die, not bleed to death right there on the road. This was in Iowa. So credit where it's due. Thank you, Congressman Van Orten, for stepping up to provide a life-saving assist in Iowa. I wish you felt the same about Medicaid, sir. That's going to do it for us for breaking news this afternoon. Let me, with that, bring on my first guest to talk about Donald Trump, the data manipulator of data manipulators. I've been so excited to talk about this because it has been something that I have been worried about since the day after the election back in November. Let me introduce to you Sarah Estep. She is an economist at the Center for, Heidi Scherholz. Let me get my experts in the right order this afternoon. Sarah's coming up, but let me start with Heidi Scherholz. She's from the Economic Policy Institute, their president. Heidi, thank you for your patience as we got through today's breaking news, and thank you so much for being here. Let's just start with the general premise. Donald Trump and his administration, as outlined in Project 2025, has been engaging since day one an ever-accelerating attack on what I'm just going to call good data, which requires good data collection, good data analysis, and then transparent reporting. Is that a fair summary of how the administration has approached this? And what are some examples that you can point to of this? And we'll get, of course, to the firing of the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Right. That's hard to not put that right at the top, because it's so egregious. You know, bad numbers come out instead of taking a pause, thinking what you might do instead. Something that shows the economy is deteriorating, to instead you just shoot them as you fire the person who delivered the data. It's just unbelievable. But it is emblematic of how this administration is being run. With the attacks on data, attacks on federal workers. So one thing that is just worth noting about, like, how this is all intertwined, is one of the reasons that he stated for firing the Bureau of Labor Statistics Commissioner is that the revisions to the data were larger than normal. And I'm totally happy to talk about the importance of those revisions, but one of the reasons the revisions were so big is that they have let go a ton of people who work at BLS. Their staff is way down. And what that means is there's a whole revision process at BLS, but what that means is that the earlier data that came in, they were less able to, like, track down businesses that hadn't reported their data and that sort of thing. So when the final data did come in, the revisions were bigger because they hadn't been able to do as good of a job earlier because Donald Trump himself had cut that staff so far. So it's all intertwined. But one of the things that we're seeing is that it's really, you know, affecting the quality of data.
Folks, that's Heidi Shierholz. She is the head of the Economic Policy Institute. Heidi, I just put the number for our studio in the chat there. If you could give us a call, we're having a little bit of problem hearing you. That number is 855-752.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
If you don't mind, 855-752-4842. While Heidi does that, I want to summarize what she just said. So here is the setup. On August 1st, shortly after the Bureau of Labor Statistics released a very weak and surprisingly weak jobs report, there was a lot of folks on the magosphere that criticized the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And by the way, most economists would point to the Bureau of Labor Statistics as one of the greatest statistical collection and reporting agencies in the world, if not one of the top, including universities as well as government agencies. And this particular MAGA person, his name is E.J. Antoni, went on Steve Bannon's War Room and said, we need a MAGA Republican running the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And he called the head of the agency incompetent. And within hours, Donald Trump had fired that agency head, calling her incompetent. As Heidi, our guest, was explaining, the reason that the purported reason for firing this longtime head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics was because the jobs numbers had been revised. And Heidi and I are going to describe that revision process to you. But revisions happen all the time to economic data, which is both a mix of estimates, right, and projections at times. There's other lagging indicators where they're remeasured, and more data comes in, and so the numbers get revised. Again, Heidi will describe that in greater detail. But one of the reasons that revisions to some of this core economic data have been larger since Trump was elected and took office in January is because he has cut all the data collectors. He's cut all the statisticians from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So if you don't have the people to do the work to get those estimates and collect as much data as you can so that you have to estimate the least amount possible, i.e. have the most accurate results, you cut all those people, yeah, you're going to have bigger revisions. When we get back, on the other side, we're going to have Heidi Shierholz, president of the Economic Policy Institute, back with us on the horn so you can hear and I can too. We're going to dig into those revisions and what all of this means with this chucklehead economist, E.J. Antoni. Anybody surprised he's the guy Trump thinks should lead the BLS? Stay tuned. We talk about the importance of data in your life when we come back right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody, and welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Wednesday. The bulk of today's show dedicated to Donald Trump, the data manipulator. Donald Trump, not the guy who wants to actually prove that his policy works. He's the guy that wants the data to, you know, whatever it might be, seem to indicate that his policies are working. One of the most egregious examples of this is Donald Trump's recent firing of the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics, one of the most important statistical agencies in the world. Not just the most important, one of the most respected statistical agencies in the world. His firing of its former head completely under pretext. And he's now appointed a guy by the name of E.J. Antoni, who I just looked up what conservative economists at like the American Enterprise Institute and other places had to say about him. A lot of these guys think this guy's a real partisan hack. We have an expert with us to understand the implications for your small business, your family's financial future with us this afternoon. Welcome back to the program, Heidi Shierholz. We can hear you now. She's from the Economic Policy Institute, president. So we need to explain why revisions happen very briefly. But I want to start with the most important thing for people to know. Why should an everyday American who happens to own a small business or maybe a medium stage business and has 40 to 50 employees here in the state of Wisconsin, why should someone who's got kids going off to college care about whether or not the Bureau of Labor Statistics has good data and has a responsible, objective economist at its head?
Oh, that is the question, right? Like, that is such an important thing that I think is not necessarily well understood, right? Like, before now, nobody could have named the commissioner of the Bureau of Labor Statistics. It's just, it's flown under the radar because it is, has been just absolutely independent. And it's just, it's, and I say this with the utmost respect, it is filled with 2,000 data geeks who their entire mission is to just put out accurate data in as timely a way as possible. And that really matters to this country. Like, the country loves, the economy runs on reliable data. Like, businesses use the number to decide whether to hire and expand. A big thing, the Federal Reserve uses them to set macroeconomic policy. And that sounds wonky, but it is incredibly important. The Federal Reserve has a ton of power on helping keep us from going into recessions, or if we're in a recession, helping us get out of it. But the tools that the Federal Reserve has, they're really blunt tools. You can't just like flip a switch and make big changes, you know, like make and make really like fine changes in the U.S. economy. They're blunt tools. So they need to have the best, most accurate, most timely data possible in order to make these decisions that literally affect everyone. Like, if we drop into a recession, millions of people could lose their jobs. If we don't come out of a recession as fast as we could have, if they had been able to do more precise, better macroeconomic policy, that means millions of people will stay unemployed longer than they would have had to. Like, it means millions of people, like, facing the screaming anxiety of unemployment. Like, it's just, it's, the stakes are enormous. And it's not just for people who lose their jobs. Like, if you have an unemployment rate that's high, that hurts the wages of people who remain in their jobs, of who still have work, because it's the logic is totally straightforward. It is just, if your employer knows you don't have any outside options because unemployment is really high, they don't have to pay you as much. They don't have to pay as much to get and keep the workers that they need. So it hurts, obviously, recessions hurt people who lose their jobs. They also hurt everyone because we see slower wage growth. So it really is important that macroeconomic policymakers have just timely, top-notch data and not politicized data, right? Like, it's not...
Not politicized data, yes.
Yes, that's key. It's not... We can trust, you know, every president has to deal with some jobs numbers that are sort of devastating because they're weak.
Let me ask you this question, Heidi, because this, I think, is the rub. First of all, let me, in very broad strokes, stitch together what you just said, and then I want to ask you one more question very briefly before we have to let you go. What you said is the BLS's numbers end up informing how businesses hire and compensate, whether they make more investments in workforce and R&D, capital improvements. It impacts how the Fed determines macroeconomic policy, which impacts interest rates and employment. So if you helped get your kid through college, you paid for it, or university, or you're thinking about trying to afford a new home, you know, all whether or not your kid has a job and how much they get paid relies on independent, apoliticized or non-politicized data. Mm-hmm. How much you pay for your home loan, that relies, you need unpoliticized data wonks doing that information so that it is the best economic policy that can possibly be implemented. Last question for you, Heidi, and we've got just about a minute left. And that is, if you can briefly tell people, of all of the things that will knock together because of Donald Trump's attacks on data, if we don't have data to test whether or not the president's policies are working, how are we going to know how to vote for? Is this big of a problem?
Yep, I think that's right. I think you're going to have a president who tries to say that everything is hunky-dory, that the policies are working really, really well, even if they're not. And what we want is a president who will actually, if the data show that things aren't going that well, that they'll think about reversing course. They'll think about.
That's it. We got to leave Heidi there. You want a president that wants good data so he knows if it's working. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody, and welcome if you're just joining me. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy 85th birthday to my friends at WFHR. They're having their big block party today. If you've got time, stop on by and check it out. I have been talking about this issue, that main thrust of the bulk of our show today, since the day after the November elections. That is that Donald Trump not only has no firm tether to reality, he will and is attacking federal agency data collection. You know, the data geeks, the statisticians, the math nerds, those folks, you know, like me, economists that want to collect data objectively and analyze it objectively and provide that analysis to the public and to government in order to have the most informed policies. I frequently ask folks that support Donald Trump, how are you going to know if what he's saying is working? What do you define success by? Because we hope in our democracy that success isn't just, hey, my team won, screw you guys. If you say that tax cuts for billionaires and 100 billionaires will actually somehow help the middle class, prove it. Well, Donald Trump wants none of that. He doesn't believe in competition because he doesn't want the good data that will show you whose ideas are better. We've got a great guest to help us understand how that is playing out in real time. I hope you join me in welcoming Sarah Estep. She is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. She's an economist. She's in their women's initiative. Thank you, Sarah, so much for being here. I want to focus on the firing of the head economist at the BLS and Donald Trump's appointment of E.J. Antoni. Why is this so critical? And why is it, Mr. Antoni said before and then said the day of his appointment announcement on Fox Business, we'll just stop with the monthly jobs report. Why is all of this very scary? Why are economists, even very conservative economists at like the American Enterprise Institute and other conservative think tanks, very concerned about this crackpot leading the BLS?
Yeah, I mean, I'll maybe start with what just happened and why it is so incredibly outside of any norm that we've had since the 1800s. This has literally never happened in the history of the BLS. And until now, no president had fired the labor market messenger. We came close during the Nixon administration, but that didn't actually come to fruition. And economists across the political spectrum, myself maybe representing a slightly left-lean, AEI representing maybe a slight right-lean, Brookings, where I used to work, very centrist, all of them have come out against this. They have said it is a danger to our democracy, and it is really dangerous whenever we do not know how the economy is doing. So, you know, Trump has appointed E.J. Antoni, who doesn't have experience with survey administration. He doesn't have much experience at all. He just got his PhD in 2020.
And let me just jump in here, because for those of you, and listen, I think there are a lot of academics that are condescending about, you know, sort of their elite status. when it comes to econometrics and economics, having your PhD for basically 5 minutes and never working in heavy data analytics and analysis is an insanity for someone that is about to run a statistical department.
Yeah, like, Erica McIntoffer had 20 years in the federal government before she came there, and she was working at the Bureau, the Census Bureau before she got to BLS. She wasn't new to this. Literally every single person before him had 20 plus years of experience like that, including Trump's last pick. So he is really outside of the norm. His work has been disproven. He has published non-replicable numbers that are false. He said that we were in a recession since 2022 and that output was declining. We are not. Yeah. We haven't been. He said that the labor force was going to grow rapidly despite the population aging.
He doesn't even, like, there are certain things that economists just understand, right? Like, when you're looking at unemployment numbers, you have to be thinking about the aging, the demography of the population. What age ranges are you talking about? Are there people that wish to be more employed than they are? In other words, you have to be able to understand what specific unemployed person are you talking about? Is this someone who's actually exited the labor force permanently by choice? All kinds of, and he has gotten that stuff wrong, just simply not understanding what the number it is that he's talking about represents. That is so scary for an economist to be that underinformed. And frankly, having work that you have published debunked, and if you cannot have your peers replicate the same outcomes that you got in papers, means you made it up, means that you're a crappy data scientist. And just so that folks know, and then Sarah, I want us to think about, okay, iterate this a little bit, right? Iterate out, you know, not just the attacks on the data collection from the BLS, but the attacks on the Fed, the Fed becoming less independent, the attacks on science and scientists, on long-serving public servants. And when we get into the 5 o'clock hour, I'm going to bring in an expert on Project 2025, which basically outlined the litmus testing of science and data researchers to ensure that they would, when they do their analysis, reach the predetermined desired outcome. I want to get into what's the broader implications, but just to remind everybody, the Bureau of Labor Statistics doesn't just put out the jobs numbers, though those are the most probably known one. They also publish the Consumer Price Index. Folks, that's inflation. We're very, very concerned about the inflation, which has just gotten worse since Donald Trump. By the way, one thing that Mr. Antoni doesn't understand is how particular CPI numbers are reported, and some of those do not include the effect of tariffs. Anyways, he's a nitwit. The CPI, and that, of course, is used to impute cost of living adjustments for millions of retirees. The Internal Revenue Service uses the BLS data when adjusting tax brackets. Investors use the data to help weight their portfolio mixes. Schools and colleges use the agency's employment projections to help advise students on what careers to go into. I've digressed, Sarah, because it freaks me out so badly. But what's the broader picture here? Because this looks extraordinarily dire to me.
Yeah, I mean, if I think you asked this earlier in your question, if we switched from monthly employment statistics to quarterly, we may not know if we're in a recession when we're in a recession. That's the big deal. We may not be able to respond and get help to people when they need it. And if statistics continue to deteriorate, then we're just in a situation where our executive branch gets to say whatever the hell they want to say, and it might be correct because we don't have anything to go against it. Or I shouldn't say correct, but there's nothing
they
to
can make
it.
Up. You can't can hold anyone accountable. If it's ironic to me, Sarah, for people to stomp their foot about fraud, waste, and abuse. I like the greatest fraud, waste, and abuse in my definition in government is when elected officials say, this bill that I propose or this approach will do X, and it doesn't do that, and they don't have any accountability for that failure. That is, by definition, the failure of an elected official. Support me because I'll support this legislation, which will achieve this result. Well, if you can't know if it's actually getting the result, there is no, if there was any accountability in government marginally today, there will be none if we don't have good data. Is that in effect what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about a parallel in Greece. They had a very similar situation happen, and then they had a complete financial collapse. If markets don't know what is going on, if they do not have that data, then they will respond in all kinds of funky ways that can harm retirement accounts. It can harm your investments. It can result in financial collapse. This is not, we've seen this before. It's really scary. And if the BLS is off on some of these statistics by even just 0.1%, a tenth of a percentage point, that's billions of dollars.
Yes.
That the federal government is under or over if they're off on the inflation whenever it comes to retirement.
And that trickle down, it's bad because we can't hold people accountable, but it will be directly bad for people who, your ability to retire, your kids' ability to get a job and be paid as best as they can, our collective ability to be as successful as we wish to be is fundamentally harmed when you engage in garbage economic analysis. We can talk about the crappy data analysis that is basically the hallmark of Project 2025 in every conceivable sector and market. But when it comes to economic numbers, and the reason I harp on this is I hear from what I hope are conservatives of good faith, I voted for Trump because he's pro-business. No, he's not. And this is an exhibit one, that he is not pro-business if the tariffs didn't do it. Dick from Madison, say hello to Sarah. Welcome to the show. What's your question or comment, sir?
Well, when you're talking about the situation with the numbers crunchers, another thing is that he's trying to control another avenue. It's the CPI.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes. The Consumer Price Index. Yep.
In the index. And that could spawn taxes to go up and everything under the sun. I mean, he's so out of bounds on everything. But something I read earlier in the week, replacing this commissioner like he did or firing her is like firing a meteorologist hoping for better weather.
That's exactly what it is, Dick. Thank you so much. He will continue to claim that the economy is booming because we won't have the data to prove that he's wrong. And folks, if we're in an environment where we're just having an argument about what we feel, then what the hell are we arguing about? Good political debate relies on facts. I'm joined by economist from the Center for American Progress Action Fund, Sarah Estep. We're discussing the ramifications of Donald Trump's attack on good, reliable data collection, analysis, and transparent reporting without politicized agenda. We're going to continue this discussion, talk about some of the industries in Wisconsin and your family's bottom line, and how all of that is at risk when we come back. So stay tuned. More with Sarah and me, Maggie Dawn, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us. You got a question? We got answers. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Before we talk Brewers this afternoon, and we will be doing that with the Brewers president and head of operations, Rick Schlesinger, at 5:30, so don't go anywhere. Before we get to that fun, we've been talking about Donald Trump's war on data and war on independent, objective, expert data collection, analysis, and transparent, accurate, non-distorting reporting. Remember when DHHS put out a report that was filled with non-existent research that they apparently wrote with AI? I mean, this is what we're talking about. And most recently, Donald Trump had fired the longtime head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which is an essential organization for both the private sector, every business owner, for government, and every level of government, because governments use this data, including your state and local government. It is essential. They help calculate the CPI, which helps impact Fed interest rate policy, which is, of course, what Donald Trump wants to now control the Fed with. We could go on. I've got a special guest with me. She's helping us understand these implications. She is Sarah Estep of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. She's an economist there. Before I kick this to explain to us how it trickles into state level and local level decision making and the industries here that are at risk, here's just a couple of things conservative economists have said about this guy. This is from a guy from the American Institute for Economic Research, David Herbert. This is a conservative, Republican-leaning organization. I've been on several programs with him at this point and have been impressed by two things: his inability to understand basic economics and the speed with which he's gone MAGA. Kyle Pomerleau, an economist at AEI, again, Republican-leaning conservative think tank, said this: he's either shown a complete misunderstanding of economic data and principles, or he's showing a willingness to treat his audience with contempt and mislead them. These statistics are not meant to be in service of any president. They're not meant to be in the service of any administration. This is essential economic data that is intertwined with policymaking in the public and private sector. We cannot be fooling around with that for partisan reasons. Preston Caldwell, senior economist at Morningstar. First impressions here. This guy has an extreme degree of partisan motivation, which impacts how he interprets facts. And the Wall Street Journal's editorial board, last but certainly not least, very right-leaning, very, very, very conservative, said this in what is perhaps the understatement of the century: Mr. Antoni's commentary at Heritage has been highly partisan, but the BLS job demands nonpartisan professionalism. Yeah, the height of understatement. Sarah, how do states and local governments use this data? So why is it important to Wisconsin? And what Wisconsin industries and businesses could be most directly impacted if this data becomes unreliable?
Yeah, so we have tons of statistics outside of the federal unemployment rate or CPI that the BLS produces. So I think a big one is the local area unemployment statistics and the state unemployment rates. Those influence things like your unemployment insurance triggers, which means whenever we are in a recession, that allows us to extend the period of time that people can claim unemployment when they need it. If that doesn't happen, when we're in a recession, we're in a big, big trouble. That could definitely hit states if we lose our state unemployment statistics. Those have already been at risk because the BLS funding has been so crunched over the past, I would say, better part of 15 years. Since 2010, there's been a massive decline in BLS funding. And in the most recent fiscal year, there's been another 8% cut proposed. So we're really looking at potentially losing some of these statistics, like the job openings and labor turnover survey, which tell us about job openings, layoffs, quits, different measures that we use to analyze the market. We are at risk of losing some of our geographic data, which definitely affects Wisconsinites. And then whenever we're talking about industry level data, I mean, if we're thinking about the industries that could potentially be hit the hardest by inaccurate CPI data or inaccurate labor market data, I'm really thinking about the ones that have been hit hardest by tariffs. So let's think about different goods producing and transportation and warehousing types of industries. I think those would be a major risk because they are trying to figure out how to respond with their inventories as we're seeing these tariffs hit. And they're, one of the ways to understand that is by seeing how our consumer prices change. And so whenever they don't have that information, it can be really risky. On top of that, the financial services industry is at major risk for obvious reasons. If you have a retirement account, if you collect Social Security, if you are hit by a recession and you become unemployed to no fault of your own and you need to claim unemployment insurance and we don't know we're in a recession, and then your unemployment insurance claim is not extended, that's a huge problem. That's just a few ways.
Yeah, and Sarah, I didn't actually intend to ask you sort of a gotcha question, but your answer gets to the point that I was driving at, and there is no industry, there is no business, there is no market that will not be impacted considerably and negatively if the data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics specifically, and again, Sarah expertly described the many, many kinds of data, if we can no longer rely on that, it will be bad for all of us, especially if you've got a young person that's heading off to college or university and wants to know, hey, what's the booming sector that I should go get a job in? That's one of the big ones, folks. Thank you so much, Sarah Estep from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. When we come back, we're going to listen to me telling the future a few months ago about this very data problem on this very show, and we're going to discuss how all of these attacks on data were all spelled out in Project 2025. Donald Trump just doing the bidding of his billionaire overlords. We discuss more on the other side. Stay tuned. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.